Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great, thanks, and I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today, on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the United Nations International Day of Peace. We'll talk about the possibility of this idealistic concept and then show how Kriya Yoga can make it a reality. You can't make a silk purse from a sow's ear. You can't create peace on earth without renouncing the world. Swami will explain the physics of spirituality and the dynamics of a divine nature. Listen in if you're serious about making an individual effort that can generate a global change. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and become the change you want to see, peace on earth. So, Swami, what I thought I would do is talk a little about International Peace Day, which is actually going to be next week, I believe, on the 21st. And International Day of Peace was actually started by the United Nations back in 1981, and they actually declared it a permanent holiday. And what they're trying to do is through education and public awareness, they're trying to strengthen the ideal of peace among all of the world's inhabitants. So International Day of Peace, like I said, is observed on September 21st, and then this is the day that UN urges all hostilities to stop worldwide. And there are events that are going around throughout the world to celebrate International Peace Day. But how can we celebrate Peace Day Kriya Yoga style?
Well, the whole thing here is that you really want to try and experience what we call inner peace. And that's what your practice of yoga is all about. It's about joining with a resource of energy that is unchanging, totally reliable, and it produces this inner feeling of calmness, confidence, clarity. And so making this internal connection is, to me, I mean, that's where you want to start.
Well, it sounds like it's easy, but we all know that there has to be maybe some type of a procedure or a process to get there. I mean, in the world that we live in, it might be more challenging for somebody to feel this sense of peace, you know, this sense of not having any type of conflict, not just worldwide conflict between big nations, but conflict even with a coworker or family member or something like that.
Yeah, one of the things that we really try and do here is we try and make a real distinction between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and eternal happiness. And everything is going to be contingent upon what energy field I draw from. Whatever it is that I put in its position, in this position of importance, whatever it is that I use to validate myself. And it can get a little confusing, but like you say, it sounds easy, and it should be easy. Because in effect, all you're really doing with a Kriya Yoga practice is you're using what you really do need to produce a feeling in your body that you're happy, which if you cross-examine it, I mean, that's probably the smartest thing you can do. And the other thing is that particular strategy is supported by every religion on this planet. That you're basically, you want to use what you need, something that is readily available to you, as a symbol that produces the feeling in your body that you're happy. Because if you really cross-examine it and you look at it, most of us are constantly searching for something to produce the feeling that we're okay. And that's, of course, what we talk about. I mean, our physical bodies live in fear. They're going to die. They know they're going to die. They live in chronic anxiety, and they're constantly seeking validation. Now, if you think about, well, what are the things we do the most? Well, your number one life-sustaining force is thought, and your number two life-sustaining force is breath. But most of us, typically, we assign the feeling that we're happy to something that's a little bit more visible and tangible. And so as a result, then, we're drawing from a different energy field. And it gives you a different return on your effort. And it changes the whole concept of even the term peace. Because one of the things we're talking about is peace on earth. But you really can't get peace on earth if you don't find inner peace. And what's ironic about the whole concept of inner peace is you can't find inner peace if you don't renounce the world. It's a really interesting thing in the Bible. That's why in James 4, he says that a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Like, what is he talking about? So if you're embroiled in the world, you've got your back to this more important source of sustenance, this more important resource. So you're using something that's actually an inferior fuel to produce the feeling you're happy. Now, while you have this, while you're getting whatever it is that you think you're using to produce the feeling you're okay, whether we realize it or not, if you're using something visible and tangible, it's going to bring with it chronic anxiety. You're going to constantly be worrying, when is the other shoe going to drop? Kind of a thing. So this inner peace that we talk about is very specific. And it only comes when the individual is joined with the divine, with the invisible, intangible source of sustenance. And of course, that produces this inner feeling of bliss, wonder, awe. And what's going on in the physical world isn't negated, but it is made smaller.
Well, I was just going to say that would be the challenge, would be to live in this world and yet still try to, A, find this connection, make the connection, and then stay with this connection, and then to have that feeling of peace. That would be the challenge for most of us to be able to do that.
Yeah, and actually it's the only way that you can do it. And it really comes down to, again, what we talk about, what energy field do I draw from? What is it that I desire? And the more connected you are to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance, then the more tranquility you experience, because you're connected to something that's unchanging. Now, if you vacillate and you go from things that are visible and tangible to things that are invisible but tangible, and then maybe somehow get to what's invisible and intangible, then there is going to be a disruption in this inner experience of what we call peace. But if you are consistent and you are well connected to the life force, to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance, then your exchange of energy will change with the outside world. You actually will no longer be drawing off of it, looking for things visible and tangible, or even things invisible but tangible, to produce this feeling that I'm okay. You will be drawing from a resource of energy that's inexhaustible, and you'll be giving out. And that actually brings you to the concept of love. Love is human perfection. It's our ability to unconditionally give, to give without any sense of expectation. And of course, if you have no expectations, then there are no disappointments. And that's what we're saying, is that in order to be able to actualize this and experience it on a regular basis, you have to rebirth your body in this invisible, intangible resource.
Now, we hear about that phrase, like peaceful solutions, whether it's, between two warring factions, countries, whatever. But how does let's just take our situations. Maybe people may have a conflict with a coworker, for example. So how do we go about trying to get to this a peaceful resolution and have both parties still in this win-win situation? How do we go about actually putting peace into practice?
Well, the thing that you have to realize is that what really starts to escalate problems is what we call emotionality, where something is elevated to a position of importance that it doesn't warrant. So, say, for example, something as simple as your conflict with a coworker could be that I need for you to be a particular way for me. Mm-hmm. And if you are not providing me with what it is that I need, then I respond as if I'm going to die. Now, by simply changing it to a simple want, then, of course, if you don't get what you want, you don't have to respond as if you're going to die. That reduces our reaction to something. That enables us to be more objective and intelligent, less needy ourselves. And so a big part of having this primary relationship with your divinity is that you have internal support. Your sense of self is intact. And the forces that are really important to you are the forces that are producing your peak experience feeling. So you're not looking for something else.
All right, great. We're going to hold that thought, and we're going to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So, listeners, we'll return in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody the spirit, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the Cosmic Ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice and open forum designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your Labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of this.
Kriya Yoga Mantra and Meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Apurna Maria, Purna Meva Vashishate.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, we were talking about peaceful resolutions, and the information that I've tracked down through this website called Win a Calendar, and it gives me a bunch of information about International Peace Day. And one of the things, one of the bullet points on it that says International Day of Peace, top events and things to do, on the very bottom says, practice peaceful resolution and problem-solving skills in your daily interpersonal interactions. And isn't that just what we were just talking about?
Yeah, kind of. But also, we're also saying how important it is to be able to do this successfully requires us to have this primary relationship with this invisible, intangible resource. Because otherwise, our interpersonal relationships will start to deteriorate into control dramas where we're actually competing for energy. And it's very difficult if you don't know the difference between, like we say, worldly happiness and eternal happiness. Because if you are successful in your control dramas, you do get a certain sense of benefit that comes with it. But it's not the same. And that's why, even say, for example, you know, with the concept of peace, that there is a difference between world peace, intellectual peace, and eternal peace. And it's all going to come down to, like what we talk about, is desire. What is my nature? And that will be determined by whatever it is that we desire. If we desire things that are visible and tangible, we will be of a low animal nature. And if we desire things that are invisible but tangible, then we will be of an equally low human nature. But if we desire things that are invisible and intangible, then we will be of a divine nature. And the more that we understand that there is a distinction between the human in the larvae state, the human in the chrysalis phase, and the human in the adult state, then I think the easier it is for us to make the necessary changes. Because again, I mean, we always come back to the old Chinese proverb that when there's light in the soul, there's beauty in the person. And when there's beauty in the person, there's harmony in the home. When there's harmony in the home, there's honor in the nation. When there's honor in the nation, there's peace in the world. But the key here is to figure out, well, what does it look like when I have the light in my soul? What does it look like when I'm connected to something that is invisible, intangible, something that is pure, powerful, sacred, and unchanging?
Now, there's a quote here, too, that is in the notes on International Peace Day, and it's a quote by Albert Einstein, and it's, "Peace cannot be kept by force. It can only be achieved by understanding." So I think that's a lot of what we've been talking about here, is that, like you say, you never gain something without losing something. So this is really a practice that we have to try to place in our everyday lives, this one, this connection with the divine, in order to find this peace. But not to, you know, like it says here, peace cannot be kept by force. You know, so I don't want to think of that just on a global nature with two warring factions, but also individually as well, cannot be kept by force. It's something that you have to want to have.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the other, another way of saying something similar to that would be, stand in fear and you stand to lose, which is a big part of a lot of our strategies today, is that we think that if we are big and powerful, people will leave us alone, kind of a thing. But again, like I said earlier, that will bring with it a certain degree of anxiety. And that's not the same as when somebody is totally established in a relationship with something that's unchanging. The calmness, the confidence, the clarity that comes with that is different. And that's the kind of inner peace that we want to produce world peace.
So it's this, what we have said before in regards to some other things that we've discussed, is that you have to think or act locally as opposed to globally. It really kind of starts with us first. And I can remember years and years ago when I was learning and studying Reiki, that was a thing that we had said too, is that you really have to start healing yourself before you can go out and start healing other people or heal the world. It really comes to a responsibility for an individual sense of self-healing. In this case, we're talking about peace, so we would have to try to work on maintaining and learning how to find peace within ourselves before we can extend it to our families, our workplace, our communities, and then so on with the Chinese proverb.
Yeah, I would agree. And I also think that a lot of these terms, like we talk about peace, we talk about love, we talk about healing, and a lot of it really is going to boil down to what do I desire? Because the origins of the word to heal means to be whole. And one of the things that we always say here is that you can't draw from fear and limitation and expect to become truth and wholeness. That the physics of spirituality is an important dynamic that you must understand. And when we draw from fear and limitation, then there's going to be limitations. But when we draw from truth and wholeness, that's when everything opens up. And that's when you, then that is really when you initiate the progressive cycle. Your whole sense of self starts to transcend the limits of seeing yourself as separate. And you see yourself as an intricate part of something bigger. Now, once you have this heightened sense of awareness and broader sense of awareness, then you really start to understand the Christian concept of love thy neighbor as thyself. Mm-hmm. Because you recognize that what you're putting out is what you're getting back. And the whole thing of there's a difference when you like yourself and when you are not at all happy with where you are. Because when you like yourself, you put out things that would be gentle and harmonious. If you dislike yourself, then you're putting out things that are going to be conflicting. And again, what is it that makes us like ourselves is the simple fact that we're using what we need, what we really do need to produce the feeling, I'm happy, I'm special, I'm good enough. So now you're not searching anymore. You're not looking for something to just give you this feeling that you're okay. You have it. And to me, I think that's more of the understanding that Einstein was referring to, as opposed to the simple fact that we try and intimidate others to try and keep them from attacking us. It's not the same peace as when you are completely out of fear and limitation.
Well, that's interesting you said something like that, because it reminded me of a movie that I saw a while back, and the premise of the movie was these generals wanted to have war, and the president didn't want to have war. He was trying to do everything he could not to create this war-like state. But isn't it interesting that everybody has an agenda? You know, what they think is right for themselves or the country or whatever, and we're not like you said, we're not drawing from the right energy field. You know, people who think war is big business, so therefore money ends up being their God and not the true divine nature being their God and being what they want to be connected to.
Right, and then like we notice is that that dynamic deteriorates into the nature of greed. Because it becomes an insatiable craving. You're drawing from something that's dualistic, it's in half, it's never going to give you what it is that you really want to be, which is whole. And so then rather than lift our heads and look and say, hey, this isn't working, we get consumed by it. And it's more, more, more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we had, I'm going to say, better leadership collectively, socially, globally, and people understood what it looked like when you had the light and the soul, and people were experiencing the benefit that comes with that,
mm-hmm.
then you'd have a much healthier, happier population. And we wouldn't be so motivated by other resources. Money wouldn't be as big to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things you'll notice is I know people that have lived almost an entire lifetime without money. I don't know anybody who has lived more than a couple of minutes without air. And yet money is much more important to the average person than their next breath. And a lot of that has to come with the simple fact that that's the way we don't think right. And if thought is your number one life-sustaining force, we've got a huge bad habit in our number one life-sustaining force that is producing this barrier to peace on earth. And a lot of it comes down to thinking right. And then the relativity. Am I thinking right? Am I breathing right? Am I hydrated? Have I eliminated the foods that produce cravings and disturbances? And am I exercising right? And of course, when you start to employ a strategy like that, if you do it correctly, you get the light in your soul. You feel connected to something that's pure, powerful, and sacred. And you're not searching any longer. You're actually giving back without any need for a return.
So what I like to do is just take a moment and, according to the United Nations, there are certain ways that we can celebrate peace. You know, if we can keep that in the forefront, they recommend, of course, if you happen to be in New York City, visit the United Nations building. Peace tree, watch a movie, and they actually give some suggestions. There's a few movies that they suggest, and A Force More Powerful, Little Town of Bethlehem, and The Imam and the Pastor. And, of course, lighting a candle at dusk to support world peace. And then, of course, we've been talking about all along in today's show about how to become peaceful individuals ourselves. So that time, I think we have to start closing down our program today. So in closing, I'd like to invite you listeners out there to visit the website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. And the website is www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can post comments about this show or any show's ideas you'd like us to consider. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. I believe we're going to be talking about the autumn equinox, I think, next week. So any final thoughts about today's show, Swami?
Like to wish everybody a very peaceful day and actually, like we said, International Peace Day isn't until next week. but we will be talking about something that will be very complementary when we talk about the autumn equinox, the sun going into the sign of balance and relationship. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.